Welcome, everybody. This is Vicki, and my show is called Return to Shambhala. Today is January the 16th. We're celebrating Martin Luther King Day here in the United States. So it's a great day to celebrate freedom in the United States. And I have a wonderful guest on tonight. I have Susan Taylor Shire. And Susan, if you don't mind, I would like for you to introduce yourself to the listeners the way you would like to be presented to them, what you would like them to know about you and your work.
Great. Thank you so much, Vicki. Wonderful to be with you, and thank you for mentioning Martin Luther King Day. There are, you know, moments in history that we all are a part of eternally, and it's so great to honor them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of what we're all about, and what I love to bring forward is my soul mission. My work is called Soul Mastery, and I'm here to bridge the spiritual life with the physical life. And, you know, my inspiration is to see everyone's life flourish, for everyone to be successful in the way they define success. And I certainly feel as though someone like Martin Luther King definitely was in that arena of making sure that every man, woman, and child had the opportunity for their lives to be all that they could possibly be.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's my work, is soul mastery and bringing forward our gifts and making sure that everyone feels that their spiritual dimensions are in alignment with their physical dimensions and there is no separation.
There is no separation. I love that. I love that whole concept of unity, unity with all that is. Now, you've written three books, and you also have a website. You do counseling. Could you tell us about that so that
Certainly.
People can contact you or get your books? I know
oh,
I just got my
you.
Book. I love it. Uh-huh.
Oh, great. Yes, my third book that you have, Vicki, is called Soul Reunion, The Return Home from Separation. And I was guided to write that book because it really was time to proclaim in a very concise and readable way that the only wound that we really have ever suffered is the wound of separation. Separation from all that we are and that unifying field of all that we are that we know at a soul level we have not only lived in, but that we still live in at a soul level. And we want these orphan parts of us that have been kept out of that to have a chance to come back into unity with that. So, again, my website is Soul Mastery. And what I do is I call it intuitive counseling for the heart and soul and psychotherapy for the heart and soul. So I help people because I've been trained as a psychotherapist in very non-traditional format, and I've worked... Sorry, my headset just decided to fly off.
Okay.
But I've worked with people for almost 20 years in recognizing their soul gifts, and then when you understand not only your soul gift and strengths and purposes, and you understand some of your deepest soul challenges and soul wounds, then you're able and be able to translate them into the nature of your life patterns that you seem to struggle with. When you put that all together, then it's like, oh, it's so much easier than doing all that psychological work that takes forever.
Right, right. Now, I wanted to ask you a question, just kind of go off to the side here. Were you ever
Sure.
involved with any of what I call, quote-unquote, the Ascended Master activities, like Guy Ballard, Godfrey Ray King, the Theosophical
No.
Society? You never
No.
were? Okay.
Never
All
was.
Right. The Bridge
Maybe
to Freedom.
In another lifetime.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Well, they have the mm-hmm. same ideas that you have as far as soul reunion, in that they talk about the God presence, the I Am presence. And that's one of the reasons I called my show Return to Shambhala, because That's where we're going to, where we're all in unity. There's no separation. And anyway, I just wanted to know if we're on the same page.
No, that was not some of the teaching that I was part of. But I do believe that this sense of unity and oneness is a very expanded space of unlimited possibilities for creation that is even larger than what people would call God, because God seems to be built for this universe, and I believe that we actually are connected to a number of universes that are here to assist us. Mm-hmm. And the more expanded we are, it's sort of like an hourglass theory as I see it, that in order to create or manifest in this world, we have to expand the resourceful connection that we have to spirit in direct proportion to what we want to create here. And part of the reason we've had a recession is because of all the people living beyond their means, which means that they're trying to create in this world from a place of willpower and from a place of human wanting without connection to spirit as their foundation for what it is they're wanting to create. But once you put those two together, then it's unlimited possibilities for what you can create, and nothing is self-centered, because when spirit guides you and assists you, then it all becomes, again, the field of creation just being embodied here. And that's what our life purpose is meant to be.
Well, that's what I believe totally, is that my mission is to connect to that God presence and to remember that I am a co-creator, and that I'm creating with God, and I'm creating what is within my realm of what my divine purpose is or my divine mission. And it's like you said, there's no force to it. You just open up to it, and voila, it's kind of slow here right now. I know things are speeding up, but to create, it might take a little bit of time.
To actually get it into this level of things, it only takes time if there's a disconnect to those larger fields, because the energy of the larger fields is quickening. Excuse me. And if there's no blockage between the creation from those dimensions and our connection here, then it does happen. Excuse me. Very quickly and synchronistically and magically.
It's
true. So things are speeding up.
Go ahead.
Good.
No, things are speeding up, because I love to hear this about the positive things that are going on right now.
Sure. Well, things are speeding up, and the only reason people are having difficulty is because we are afraid of the nature of the power that this speed brings. But it's because we've sensed that, or felt that this power was going to be like a power that was going to take something from us or take advantage of us, or whatever we have in our idea bank about power and misuse of it. But if you start to realize that it's just the force of the universe that is working with us, then we go, bring it on. We say, you know, we want to surrender, we want to open to it, but when it becomes a little more intense and powerful, then we go, whoa, 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 whoa.
Right.
We want miracles, but whoa, whoa, whoa. And it takes energy to create miracles, so we have to be open to the energy, and it will come in more than a trickle. It will actually come in more of a waterfall or a flood, which is great, but we have to be available to that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I wanted, maybe I'll give you a little break for your voice, but I wanted to give the listeners kind of an example of what happened to me on 11/11/11. I went to Peru to be with the Children of the Sun at a certain place. I wanted to be at the Island of the Sun in Lake Titicaca. So I get a train ticket, and I'm going to go from Puno, Peru. I'm going to cross the border over across Bolivia and go take a ferry out to the Island of the Sun. Well, everything went wrong. I got to the train station. I mean, it was a bus. I got to the bus station, and they said, oh, you can't cross the border unless you have so much money in U.S. dollars, and you have to have a yellow fever shot, blah, blah, blah. So it's really early in the morning, and I said, well, I can't go. I don't have that kind of money. I don't have a yellow fever shot, so I'll figure something out. Well, I got back to my hotel in Puno, and I asked the owner, could he get me a taxi to go out to Amaru Meru, the gateway of the gods, where the Incans used to meet with the visitors, supposedly. And, you know, I got in the cab with the man, and I went out to that site, that beautiful, very, I don't know how to explain it. It's just so magical. All the people were there dressed in white, and I was right on time. And all the children of the sun were there.
So,
yeah.
Good for you for not being stopped at all.
No.
By this, what we call the systems of this world that are trying to keep us from having these experiences and magnifying light and magnifying all that we are. But you know, without getting all determined, it's just like, no, I'm meant to be there. I will find a way.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be supported in finding a way. Yay.
Yeah, and it was
and you probably had an easier way to do it.
It was much easier. But that long trip to Bolivia and, know, the money it would have cost to. They charged the U.S. citizens quite a bit of money to cross the border. So,
clever, aren't they? That's great.
And
that's
then
a
when I got back
story.
To my hotel in Puno, the whole hotel was full of these people that were there at the ceremony, all dressed in white, and we had a beautiful time there at the hotel together.
Oh.
They were Colombia, but I speak Spanish a little bit, so we
good for you.
Talked about what happened and what we're about, and I shared my pictures with them. It was really great.
Wonderful. Oh, my gosh, that's so great. Definitely. Yeah, it was a very important time, 11-11-11, and I was working with someone just this afternoon that was speaking about the fact that her 11-11-11 had that kind of bumpiness to it. It was more internal than external, and I said, well, you know, it's interesting how, for me, what I've noticed with people is that a lot of our soul wounding, very deep wounding that we don't quite understand, we can't quite label it as mother, father stuff, et cetera, has been up recently, and particularly crossing this threshold of 11-11-11. And it's been really great for people to be aware of that, so when something happens, they can go, oh, now I understand what's going on, and be able to work with it more easily.
Well, I know when I went from Tucson to Houston, Texas, and when I was waiting to make the connection from Houston to Lima, Peru, somebody spilled gasoline all over the tarmac, and the whole flight got canceled. There was 250 people. They all had to be rerouted to Lima. And I'm just thinking, who caused that? I've never had gasoline spill on a tarmac, and all the times I've traveled, it was so weird. And there were 9 of us that I counted. We didn't know each other, but I knew where they were going, and they knew where I was going. There were 9 of us that were – they tried to block us, I'm sure. Something was trying to block us from getting there, but we all made it.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes you'll never know exactly what, but you know it's something that was trying to block things, for sure.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you made it through, huh?
Yeah, I came back and...
Excellent.
Yes.
And here you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aw, that's great.
So for the listeners, I know there's a lot of people that are, they're in fear of earth changes, what that could bring to their lives. They're in fear of the economy, who's going to be the president this time, and the government's going to take over the New World Order, these kinds of things. And you're in your book, you're talking about that this is all just an aspect of separation. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. This is just a revelation. All that we're seeing is just a revelation of the impact of our separation. Our own fear, behavior of fear, our own belief that fear is important to hold on to has created a revelation in the outer of all these crazy systems, etc., that seem to provide a sense of reflection to us, revelation and reflection to us, of the patterns of separation that we have incurred. And so we just need to see that and name it and go, wow, I don't choose to keep this alive anymore like this. I really choose to do it in my life, in connection. And I think that's why we are all very keen to get more connected and really listen to what's happening in 2012, because we know we want to do it differently, and we're going to have to do it in a way that truly reflects a collective consciousness of co-creation. And we just have to keep our eye on the ball in that regard.
Right. I know one activity of light that I'm involved in, it's Patricia Diane Cota Robles here in Tucson, New Age,
yes,
Study for Humanity's Purpose.
Uh-huh.
We've been going to her Monday night classes once a month for years. But one thing that we do every time there's an election or when there's governmental issues going on, we go into a meditation and we realize that all these politicians, they are human too. They all have hearts, and they want to do what's right deep down in their heart. So we pray that when they go to sleep at night and they go into the temples for instruction. I know above Tucson, there's the temple for the reverence of all life. John has a temple above Tucson, John the Beloved, and that when they go there and they take their instruction, they bring that back to the table the next day, to whatever meetings they're in, and they try to do what's the right thing, do from their heart what would be in unity and not in separation, not dog eat dog, but what's good for the collective. So that's one way we keep our eye on the ball. Especially around election time.
Well, I think we have to learn how to listen with our hearts and our intuition about what's going on around elections, around politicians and what they're doing, and not be fooled, because some politicians really are trying to work for our betterment and others simply are not. And
right.
We have to be honest about that, that some really are there just to get to a higher ground for themselves. I shouldn't even call it a higher ground. Some of them are just interested in puffing their egos, and we have to be honest about that. And we voted them into office, so that's how it works sometimes. But we have to, as I said, listen to our heart and listen to our own intuitive voice that knows what's corrupt and what is for the betterment of all of us.
Absolutely. You know, I used to teach the Flower of Life classes for Drumvalo Melchizedek, and he taught us about the higher self. And one thing that he always told us to teach was always be in the heart, be like a child, childlike. That's how he became, he feels like, enlightened. He was out in the woods just being a kid, and these angels appeared before him and this kind of thing. Let's see, where was I going with this? How do you say we connect more with our heart and with our higher self, our God self, our soul? How do we get to soul reunion?
Mm. that's a deep subject. Just kidding.
It is.
No. Well, that's why I write books about the topic. I do use what I call a red toolbox, trying to find as many simple tools for people as possible so that they can, in the moment, find a way to get reconnected. So let's do a couple of things here. First, let's talk about connection to the heart, okay, mm-hmm. since you asked that first. And what I find is, as it relates to connecting from the heart, is we have to be in what I call our sacred heart. There's a human heart and a sacred heart. And the reason we have gotten so disconnected is that we stick around in our human heart and try to be spiritually connected through our human heart. And the human heart is not meant for that. It holds, it's meant to be a feeling perceptor. And then we've gotten all these bad emotions, so to speak, I'll just call them bad for fun, into our heart based on feeling hurt by another, based on feeling abandoned, rejected, betrayed. You know, everyone has felt that at some point in their life. Or they've brought in that soul wound, which made them feel like they've always been abandoned, rejected, and betrayed. Okay?
So
imagine you're holding that in your human heart, and then you go to connect with spirit, and you're clogged up feeling that you've always been abandoned. Then there's no room for spirit to come into your heart, and you're feeling as though, gosh, if I open my heart to spirit, I'm just going to get abandoned again. So forget opening to spirit. Okay?
Right. Uh-huh.
So what we have to do is discern the difference, and there's a huge difference between this, what I call the sacred heart, which is the heart space behind the human heart, where we actually connect and hold our connection to all qualities of spirit. Okay? So imagine you're holding all a space behind your heart, and anyone can go into that space. It's physically in a bit of a different spot for everybody, okay? But you can find it by just going back of your physical heart, you know, whether it's in your imagination or your senses. There's this big space back there that's just available for receiving. And you can either visualize in it, or you can sense in it, you can feel in it, and you can just get a feel for the nature of this beautiful sacred spot that is always available for spirit, always available for you. Now, sometimes you may find that there's a big stone in front of that heart, and you can't quite get into it as easily as you wish you could, okay? So you just go, I think I'm going to move that block, that stone, that fence, that whatever it is. I'm going to move it away and make sure that I open myself to that space and call it a sacred space, because it can never be defiled. It can be blocked, but it can't be defiled. It might get dusty. It might be a big creative void, but it can't be harmed. So when we come more from that space and learn to be more in that space, then we give spirit more of a chance to come in to be embodied in us. And that's really what everybody wants, is a greater embodiment of our connection to spirit. Uh-huh. You know, we've all spent lots of time getting connected and meditating and finding many ways to get connected to something larger. And now what we all want is to feel like we can embody it and live it in our lives, which is fantastic. That we have, you know, that's the speeding up process, that we're not just content to be in a meditation from time to time where we touch the wealth of our soul gifts. We want to be able to live from those gifts. So that's one way to do it. And I have a number of other ways I can share with you, too.
Okay.
Unless you want to say something first.
Go on.
Okay. All right. So one of the fun, simple ways that I have written in the book, let me start with something else. In the book, I talk about all the aspects of us that have been separate. The essence of us has never been separate. Our soul essence has never been separate from all that we are connected to. But
I
there
love
are
that.
Parts
mm-hmm.
of us, yeah, but there are parts of us that we have taken away from that connection to because we thought we'd get hurt, so we lock parts away, like little kids in dungeons, or we are afraid that there's a power out there that's bigger than us, we won't be taken care of. All these fears we have, we delegate to aspects of us. Now, whether those are emotional aspects or physical aspects, where we hold them in ourselves, it's all connected, those parts of us are holding wounds of separation.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, when we're in the middle of a recession vibe, and what I call a recession vibe is that sensation that we're in a recession, okay? So that's a belief we've taken on. An individual takes on the belief, I'm in a recession, okay? We all have a choice to buy into that or not. And you could say, well, there's plenty of evidence. I lost my job. I did this. I did that. You could have lost your job 10 years ago and you wouldn't have said you were in a recession. You could have had a bad hair day. You could, you know, all sorts of things happen, but we label it so we feel comforted. I'm in a recession, therefore I'm justified in feeling what I feel. But the only way we're going to get out of a recession is if we stop being a victim to some idea and we go, okay, so I lost my job, I was in a tornado, whatever it is that happened to us that could have happened, like I said, 10 years ago or 2 days ago, and we ask ourselves, what am I going to create now? We get out of survival, which is where separation exists, trying to survive in life, and we go to the level of creation. What do I want to create now? Okay? Mm-hmm. So when we're in that moment of feeling hopeless, helpless, powerless, which is, you know, the three words, helpless, hopeless, and powerless seem to be the markers of this recession, when you're in that energy, okay, and you're going, oh my gosh, I feel so helpless. You're going to add the word, and this is a simple little trick to remember, add the word, without connection, I feel helpless.
Mm-hmm.
That's the case. The only reason you, when you're in a place of connection, you don't feel helpless, you feel connected.
Right.
So,
yes.
Without connection, I feel helpless. I know. And then you go, okay. And then you get to make the choice. Do you want to stay in helpless or do you want to go to connection? So then you just state the phrase, with connection, I feel, and you fill in the blank, and you realize, oh my gosh, with connection, I have a choice to feel something completely different than helplessness, hopeless, and powerless. It's that simple.
It is. Oh, I love that. That's great. The words. Little
it's
words.
It's always taking advantage of the fact that we have free choice, you see. We used to say, oh,
creativity,
I hate this idea of free choice because then we get in trouble and all sorts of bad things happen. But I'm turning it around for you to see that free choice is what actually sets us free. We don't have to be a victim if we recognize that we have free choice.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a great example.
Oh, good.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah. So anyone can apply it. You know, you can just go into, as I say, that helpless, hopeless feeling that we seem to love to take on and feel justified in taking on quite often. You know, as I say, all of us could feel that sense of buying into the qualities of the recession, but the fact is anything that's happened in the last 3-4 years could have happened 10 years ago, and we wouldn't have put that big cloud over it. We're in a recession. We would have just said something horrible happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to find our way out of it.
Have you heard of doing decrees, the activities of light that do decrees to to call
tell me what
forth.
Those are.
You have?
No. Tell me what. I don't think I have. I'd love to hear what those are.
Well, you call forth. You're in charge here. You're connecting to your I am presence. Your source. And I won't say the whole thing, but one of them starts off, "Mighty I am presence, enfold me now in thy mighty magic electronic pillar of ascended master light substance. Make it so powerful that no human miscreation can pass through." And I know you mentioned something in your book about protection and this kind of thing, but anyway, you're calling forth your God presence. You're saying, come, let's connect, let's get together, let's stop the separation, and you're commanding it, and there's nothing wrong with that. You're not begging, you're not down on your knees praying, oh, come, you know, come and be, you're just saying, let's come together now. I know about you, I know you're there, and so let's connect. So,
yes.
And they have these long, elaborate decrees like that.
Mm,
beautiful words.
And it is beautiful, absolutely. Here's where we are now is this level of what I call co-creation. And to co-create, when we say be here now, you know, often what we do, which I feel is wanting to change, is that we will say be here now, and we bring that larger energy that you're talking about in Ascended Masters, etc., we bring it in, but we only bring it in sort of above our head into our higher chakras. We never allow that energy to really come into us and reunite with us, okay? So it's important when we call on, say, let's just use the example of an ascended master, that we bring that presence into our heart, okay, and bring that presence into our abdomen, and bring that presence into ourself and be that presence fully. That's when we start doing more reuniting with these larger dimensions, and that's when these larger dimensions really have a chance to work through us, is when we give them full access into our human dimension, so that they don't stay separate as though there's some large thing out there that we never get to touch, except that we call for it or call on it, so to speak. Does that make sense?
It does. For instance, I really believe that we're here to serve. I know you're from California. There's a large Native American population here, and that's one thing that they teach is that we're here to serve. You're here to serve, end of story. And so whatever work you have, you love that work because it's of service, no matter what it is. And if you love your work, you'll never work another day because you love what you're doing. And when you're connected to the whole community, to the whole cosmos or whatever, you don't feel disconnected. You love what you're doing, no matter what it is. If it's whatever part of the tribe you are, whatever part you serve.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's joyful and everybody, you have a joyful day. It's not drudgery. Oh, I got to go to work today. That kind of thing.
Well, the key thing for service is to know that you are serving the oneness.
Mm-hmm.
That is the first thing that we are serving, is that oneness. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what we want to do is remember that, because too many people have gotten, from the work that I have done with people, so dedicated in serving others that they forget themselves and they forget their connection to source, because other becomes more important because of the whole concept of serving becomes giving away. So that's why I want to sort of bring that in a little bit.
Right. Yes.
Okay.
I read that in your book. I remember that part.
Oh, did I say that there?
You did. Okay. Uh-huh.
Oh,
I forget
great.
What it was, but I remember that you have to honor yourself and respect yourself and your energy too. Because I know one of the Native American teachers in one of the schools where I was working, they kept asking her to do these things, and she said, "That's not respectful. That's not respect to have me take on three classes in one hour, or something like that."
Yes. Respect is so important to go hand in glove with love, because if you don't have respect, then it becomes a kind of demanding love. So yeah, respect. I love that word. It's just Aretha Franklin had it right.
Right. And you say it to one of the Native American children in school, respect, and they get it immediately. They know exactly. You only have to say that one word.
Yes. That's great. Yep. So it's very important. And, I find a lot of us don't have enough self-respect, which means we really honor what we have to bring here. We really honor and respect what we have to bring, and it can't be taken from us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely. So it's wonderful. Yeah, we have, we have so many great opportunities. So many great opportunities. Yeah.
I know that as each and every one of us lift ourselves up, that we, being a part of the collective, we lift each other up, so that the 100th monkey, we all, by having these, working through these blocks that you're talking about to get to soul reunion, we lift each other up, and it's just gaining so in momentum daily. From
it
what
is,
Patricia
that,
did, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say that is all part of the increase in power that we are privy to at this point, is that sense of increase of the power of the collective, that we don't have to do it all by ourselves. Now, we are much more spiritually self-sufficient than we've ever been as well. And we don't have to do it all by ourselves. It's always, sort of an oxymoron. Yeah. It's amazing.
It is. Tucson, yeah. In February, we have the gem show, GEM, where people from all over the world bring their gems, their crystals. And when they're here, it's huge. Tucson is, there's the traffic. It's just, it's wonderful. But when we meet during the gem show, this activity of light that I'm involved with, we ask the elementals to infuse as much light into those gems as possible, so that when they take these gems back to where they're going, that light will go with them as well. So that's another thing that we do to bring the light, because we know that these crystals hold light and transfer that. So that's, I just want to,
absolutely.
I don't know why
it's sort of like little miniature crop circles. We have all these things showing up these days that are bringing a ways for the larger dimensionalities of spirit to bring their influence here. It's amazing. They just keep coming up with new things, whether it's UFOs, crop circles, gems, just avenues outside of the human consciousness in separation, where they can have an influence. Magic,
uh-huh.
Miracles, you name it. Yeah. So it's really great. If we start to keep our eye on the ball, we'll see all the incredible possibilities that are going on.
One thing I'm not crazy about, maybe this is somebody's vision, but I don't want to go back to a farm life where you're living on a farm and you're raising your own food. And I love to garden. I have beautiful flowers in my yard and my trees, but I don't particularly like farming. And I'm sure There's other people that love that kind of work. Or whatever they want to do, hydroponics or whatever, wherever we're going, or light food. I'm not sure where we're going, but I don't want to farm or that kind of thing. That's not what I see. I see more light and more, well, I can eat if I choose to. And, but some people just, they're hoarding food. And I know people that don't even eat. They don't even drink water. They live on light, and they're perfectly fine. And that's where I would like to go. If I want to pick an apple and eat an apple, I can. If I don't, I don't need to. And then a lot of that separation will go away, because you know when you're eating meat and killing animals and this kind of thing, you are in separation, because you're really killing yourself when you kill that cow or that pig. That's part of you, and that's separate to me. I wouldn't want somebody to kill me and eat me, you know?
Yeah. So we're going to have to raise our vibration and really expand our ability to be connected for those kinds of things to happen, for us to really change the outer dynamic of how we live, for sure. Yep. So we can live on light. You know, that's a little bit, I would say that's a little time away from now, because it's such a high contrast from what we're doing, that there's going to be a transition happening where we, I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but to go straight to light, I don't think we have that capacity quite yet. You know, we're in a big transition, but we're getting there.
And at least we know there are people that can do that. And these are just average. I mean, well, I wouldn't say they're average, but these were people that were living basically normal lives. They weren't a Babaji or somebody like that. They were, they just went through, like Joshua David Stone, he didn't eat for the last part of his life. He had pancreatic cancer, and it just was too painful to eat. So he went several years without food and water, and taught and wrote books, and so and I believe there's an individual ascension. We can ascend on our own, but there's also a group soul reunion that's going on too. That there's a couple of things going, a couple of different routes that we're going, and we don't have to wait for everybody. We can go on our own. And like I said before, I believe that we're lifting others up as we move up in consciousness, in unity consciousness.
Well, yes, I don't know if we can actually lift anyone up. I think we are inspiring and showing a choice for others. So when they're ready to make the choice to come out of fear, they have living examples to work from. Yeah, but we don't want to play God and think that we're going to lift others up. We just give them options. We give them inspiration. We give them a new way of being beyond their fear, which is very exciting. So it's the collective sense of not just one Jesus or one Buddha being present, but a whole collective of people saying it really is possible to live and move out of chaos and really live in the field of creation, and continually ask, what do I choose to create now? And live from that place. It's exciting.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, are there any other techniques, I guess you would say, or any other ways? You mentioned two in your red toolbox, two ways to...
Well, I have three books full of them. Soul Mastery, right. Accessing the Gifts of Your Soul, talks about how to understand your soul gifts and strengths and purposes. So anyone reading that book would be able to get in touch with their own gifts and strengths and purposes, because everyone wants to know what their purpose is, and I believe there are collective purposes, not just one. You know that we have lots of purposes, and they keep changing as we move along. Thank goodness. 20 years ago, what we saw as our purpose, or say 40 years ago in my case, you know, just coming out of college, my purpose would be very different then than it is now. Thank goodness. I didn't have the vision then that I have now, or I'd be overwhelmed. I could only open to the purpose that was mine then. So now we all have different purposes and they'll keep changing. I think that's part of the quality of being an entrepreneur is going, that worked well for me for a while. Now I'm ready to create something else. And what's my purpose next? And what wants to open through me now, which is really wonderful. And again, that's all part of the co-creative aspect of things, that we're continually opening to a more expanded dimension of our connection to the divine to create from. So then my second book, Soul Radiance, Bring Your Soul Riches to Life, refers to how to embody our soul gifts, strengths, and purposes. How to be in the place where we feel, again, what it feels like. Soul radiance is the place that we feel when we are really aligned with our sense that we have soul gifts, and we are starting to learn how to live from those soul gifts. And our soul is what I call our natural GPS for our life. We live a soul-directed life. In the Soul Radiance book, I have 20 sessions of people who have done work with me and connected with their soul essence to learn how to be do life transitions, learning about having real food, weight issues, love issues, how to rectify all those things by connecting with your soul. It's amazing how the secret to manifestation I have found in the deepest sense, if you really want to manifest something, not only do you feel a sense of intention mentally, but a sense of intention with your feeling dimension. And we often have to connect with our soul, because if someone were to say to you, all right, so feel what it's like if you're 200 pounds, feel what it's like to be thin. And you go, I don't have a clue how to feel what it's like to be thin, because it's been, for you know, since I was three, since I was thin. I mean, that makes complete sense to me. I was, you know, I've worked with a number of people, and this is what sort of gave birth to that idea, the Soul Radiance work, which is we don't, in our feeling realm, know how to get there. So what we need is connection to our soul, which knows the essence of the qualities of spirit we would hold when we were holding that energy of being thin again, because we hold it in our soul memory bank. So in order to do that, we go into what I call a guided journey to our soul essence to be able to connect with what it is to be thin, so we can embody that and start to tell ourselves what it is that it feels like to be in that space of so-called thinness or healthiness or whatever it is we're looking to create more of. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it makes it much easier to actually manifest or create what we love when we are in the place of connection to our soul. Our soul is connected to everything, everywhere.
I love that.
So and, we have connection to all qualities of spirit in the connection with our soul and bringing it in to our sacred heart.
You mentioned in your book of the Ho'oponopono prayer, and I know this is one thing that I think about doing and then I forget and then I remember to do it, but would you like to speak to that, the Ho'oponopono?
I know. Yeah, as long as I don't have to say it, I can. Okay. So in my book, I talk about these orphan parts, these aspects of us that have been in the place of separation. And when we are, instead of sort of wanting to feel them so deeply and work with them and get to the trauma of what created them and all of that psychological babble, so to speak, what I have devised is a really simple way of reuniting these places within us to our sense of connection. So all of us have some sense of connection, whether it's been through one moment of meditation or hours at a time of being feeling the bliss of connection. We all know a little of it. Now, what you want to do is bring that into your sacred heart. Let your sacred heart be filled with that sense of connection when you are in that place, okay? Then you have this little part in you that goes, I can't do this,
mm-hmm.
or whatever it is, the overwhelm,
can't let
okay?
go.
Yeah, I can't let go, I can't do this. And you don't even need to understand why it's crying out. What it's crying out for is connection. Always, always, always. All the cries in our body, fear, sadness, anger, resentment, overwhelm, helplessness, are crying to get reconnected because that's the only thing they're suffering from is not having that sense of connection. So understanding that first and foremost is fantastic. Then what you do is allow that aspect of you to be fed by the connection in your sacred heart. And in the book, I talk about the various ways of doing that depending on what you're working with, whether it's overwhelm, helplessness, body elements, I don't belong here, I'm deeply sad, I feel abandoned, all those things that we deal with on a regular basis, how to get those pieces reconnected. It's very practical. So, the Ho'oponopono prayer,
I may have said it too much,
is what you say to that part longing to know reunion. I'm so sorry. Because you are the one that put that part in separation. You have to own that. You put it into the place of overwhelm, helplessness, whatever it is, in a moment of feeling small, wanting to stay small, being afraid, wanting to protect yourself, all of that. You created that part back along the way or yesterday. Okay? So you say to that part, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you. Then you open the door for this aspect to be with you in connection to love, peace, whatever it is that your space of connection is. You give it the opportunity to be reconnected. And one of the first things, of course, that you do is to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, which is a way of lovingly taking responsibility for the fact that you created that part that is in fear, etc. And then it makes it uber easy to have it get reconnected because it's like a baby bird. It just wants the real food. So there it will open its mouth wide when you bring the right worm. Okay? You know, it's innate in that part, just like it is with the baby bird. It's innate for that baby bird to just open its mouth the minute it hears, feels, sees mom coming. And that's what's true of these aspects of us that have been in separation. They just know the minute that the connection in you arrives, they're like, yes, 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 that's what I want. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And they are transformed. They're fed. It's wonderful. It's easy.
It is. Thank you. It's done.
That's right.
It's over.
Uh-huh. That's right. Mm-hmm. And then it's always a choice. Do I want to maintain this or not?
Yes, I love that prayer. I love the music that I've heard to it, the dancing and all that. It's really beautiful.
I know. There's so many uses for that wonderful, wonderful prayer. It's quite remarkable.
Yeah. Well, let's sum up. It's time to go. And let the listeners know how they can contact you, and just review that again, if you don't mind. And
okay. Absolutely, not at all. So, you can Google if you want to get hold of me. You can Google Susan Taylor Shire. You can Google Soul Mastery. You can Google probably Soul, and it will come up near the top.
Oh, good.
Soul anything if you can't remember, if you're listening to this while you're driving in a car or whatever. Soul probably will get you there. You can Google Soul Mastery, Soul Reunion, Soul Radiance, any of those words. And it's soulmastery.net is my website. And the books, I have you know, not only three books, which you can get, as I say, Kindle, in a PDF form, in downloadable form, or a soft cover. Lots of ways to get it through the website, through Amazon, through any local bookstore. So it depends on who you want to support and give your money to. There's so many options in this world. Then you can go to my website, and there's lots of free talks, inspirational videos, all sorts of fun things you can look at, and lots of products. All the workshops that I've done, samples of them or the whole thing, are available on the website for as recordings and CDs, and it's just endless possibilities. And I'm currently, next week, I'm starting a two-week, very short, to the point, Strengthen Your Intuition to Lead a Divinely Inspired Life in 2012. That's a really great one. That was by popular request. And then right after that, I'm doing a five-week teleclass, Create the Life You Love in 2012.
Oh, that's a great one, too.
That's a really great one, because people have been saying to me, okay, there's so much great energy for 2012. It feels so powerful. It feels so potent. It feels like, oh, my gosh, so much is going to open up, but I don't know how to get there. I want to be on that boat. I want to be on that ship. Tell me how to get there. And so I've created this class for us to be able to do that.
Well, yeah. you have been a great inspiration to me. I saw your name, and I said, gosh, I've just got to interview you. This is wonderful, and you're a wonderful teacher. I've enjoyed every minute of what you've shared tonight and the show, and I wish you the best. I'd like to get involved in some of these classes. I'll be going to your website.
Great.
Anything else you would like to say, Susan?
Oh, I just want to thank you, Vicki, for all you're doing. You're obviously on a mission as well to bring not only your gifts, but the wealth of spirit that so many these days have to bring into this world, that there you are on board to be a vehicle for so many people to connect where they need to connect, where they wish to connect, so that all sorts of worlds can open up for all of us. And this, you know, true community of spirit can really flourish. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. All right. Well, everybody, I will see you back here in 2 weeks. Thank you so much, Susan, for being my guest. And have a wonderful 2 weeks and a wonderful end of the Martin Luther King Freedom Day. Seth, I'm going to sign off now, if you're there.